You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
What is up? Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, Wall Street, Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. What's happening, Corey?
Ain't nothing much, fantasy executive. Chilling, feeling pretty good. I am the fantasy expert that's in the pocket of your khaki. So I feel pretty good about that.
Is this a new thing we're dropping?
I like being the fantasy expert in your khaki pocket. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of a mouthful.
It is a mouthful, yeah. Fantasy expert in the pocket of your khaki.
When did you create that? Like in the shower this morning? You're like, oh, I like this.
It just hit me just now when I was hearing the great Nando DeFino's promo about fantasy expert in the pocket of your khaki. I'm that guy. So, but I'm learning with you as we do roto camp, whatever. And I'm as happy as today as LeBron James was yesterday.
I'm sure you are.
He was ecstatic about
it. He was. Life was good.
He might be the best general manager in the NBA.
He might be. He's better than Phil Jackson.
Oh, no,
much.
God. Jeez. Don't mention that guy.
I'm sorry. Mr. Modica, how are you, my friend?
Doing well. It's dry today, so that's a good thing. Happy about that.
Certainly.
The Olympics are off to a really good start,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, the Olympics that I was able... We actually wound up DVRing it, I think, Friday night and Saturday night. It's super easy because you wake up in the morning, you just like fast forward through all the BS, and like, anytime you see American on the screen, you're like, oh, let's watch this.
Okay, yeah.
And it actually made it very easy. And it's like, also, when you got nothing going on, it's like very nice to just have it on in the background and then like check in on random things. The Olympics are wild because you start caring about things you just never care anything about. It's cool.
Yeah, no, you get to see some different sports. I thought the highlight of the weekend was the Olympic athlete from Russia. I'm probably going to butcher the name, but we'll do it anyway. Medvedev, whatever.
Let's just call him Meds.
Yeah, Meds was on point. Sensational.
Yeah, there's a...
What is Meds' skill set? Like, what's his gig? What does he do?
It's a she.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, it was...
What does Miss Meds do?
It was figure skating. I think it was for the team.
It was in a team competition, and she was just like on another planet, honestly.
She really was.
Like, the American did the triple axel the first time since Tanya. I'm so excited to talk to you about this. We'll do that in like the full Olympics.
I mean, being that I've seen Tanya, I can comment on this.
Right. So I was
I'm like an expert.
Literally in the rundown, when we talk about the Olympics, I had this in here. Matt, she did it! The first American to do it since Tanya Harding in Olympic competition.
That's what's up.
And then this Russian came in and blew away everybody. It was really exciting.
No, it was. That was some greatness.
And
if you can't appreciate it on whatever sport it is, I mean, and then that 17-year-old kid was pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. So why don't we? I'm going to start with you, Darvish. But I'm liking the Olympic conversation we're doing. So after the break, I think let's dive into our Olympic conversation, sponsored by DKMS, because the Olympics are what everybody's watching right now. Even though like nobody really cares. I can tell you in all my group texts throughout the weekend, it was all about the luge, all about curling, and then we watched a lot of figure skating. I watched a lot of snowboarding yesterday because you had the men's jump and the female jump, and it was awesome. And Americans won both, and it was really, really cool. So we're going to talk about all of that when we come back. The Olympics are in full swing, and we have you covered here on FST. Fantasy Sports Today continues here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
You know, it's funny. So Bavona plays this song for the American woman pulling off the triple axel, and yet I feel like people always forget that this is like the most anti-American song. Like, this is like anti-everything. This is not like a good, like, go America song.
Why not? What's wrong with it?
It was about, like, it was a protesting Vietnam song, American Woman.
Oh, okay.
And it was not like American Unit. It was not that at all.
I didn't know that. I wasn't up on the backstory of it.
Yeah,
but,
true story. Then the cover by Lenny Kravitz is just like whatever. But the original American Woman.
All right, cool. I'm with it.
There you go. So, American Woman did pull off the triple axel yesterday, Matt, in figure skating. And remember, as we talk about the Olympics, think about this. DKMS.org is where you want to go as you think about the Olympics, as you watch the Olympics, as you read about the Olympics, because everyone has a backstory, and some of these people really, really need help, and you could help them all across the world by donating bone marrow. So find out if you could be a donor. All you have to do is swab your cheeks, and the DKMS people, they handle all of that. You just go to DKMS.org, you sign up to be on the list, you swab your cheeks, and that's it. Then you get on the list, and ultimately, you may be called to donate your bone marrow. It doesn't hurt. You're recovered in hours, and that's it. You're done, and you actually saved a life. It's that simple. You can save a life. Why not try to do that? DKMS.org, please, and thank you. Okay, so you want to talk about the team skate, which was the first ice skating competition of the Olympics, and you had men's and ice dancing, and then women's, and it was a whole huge event, Matt. And the star for the Americans was the woman that wound up doing and accomplishing the triple axel. Mariah Nagasu was able to do it for the first time, third woman in Olympic history, I believe, to do it. The second American woman in international competition to do it, too. Tanya herself, Tanya Harding, the
triple axel. Spin around three times.
Sure. So
that's
it was
a lot of spinning.
It was just, it was awesome. And the fact is, she came in second in that portion of the competition, despite the triple axel, because the Russian woman that you were describing was just so damn impressive.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was pretty floored watching that. You know, the triple axel, fantastic. First American to do it on Olympic ice. But the performance that the Olympic athlete from Russia, I just love saying OAR, was, you know, just truly phenomenal. That girl was just flawless. I was captivated. You know, I may be pulling for her in the singles. I'm not gonna lie.
You're right here. What are you, a commie?
I'm a commie. I don't know.
Espionage.
I don't know. I'm kind of intrigued. I'm not gonna lie.
Despite the Russian woman pulling off just a fantastic performance, it was the Canadians that actually won the team performance. Won the team performance throughout.
It's easy.
The ice dancers were very good.
Yeah, Team Canada.
It's cold up there, so they're used to dancing on ice.
Okay, so you make that comment, and Katie Couric made something so ridiculous on Friday night as well, like along those lines.
I didn't know that was ridiculous.
Right, you did, because you're like, oh, it's cold. They dance on ice.
It is cold.
Well, it's cold in Russia.
So
that's true too.
So the Netherlands walked out on Friday night.
It's not cold here.
It's cold. It could be. It gets cold.
Okay.
So the Netherlands walks out.
Isn't Didi from the Netherlands? My man Didi.
Yes, he is.
He looks like he's from a tropical climate.
So he walks out, and she goes, "Yeah, you know." All of the all but five of like the gold medals the Netherlands have gotten in the Winter Olympics have been in speed skating. And, oh, okay, that's a good stat. That's cool. Because the reason they're so good at speed skating is the canals freed up. So on their way to work, they speed skate through the canals. And all these people on Twitter are just like, what?
You think
I go to work and I speed skate? What is wrong with you?
Yes.
So she got all this pushback because it was like all these pictures of people like on the canal like. Transpose like ice skating on their way to work, which does not happen.
No.
They take the bus, they take a subway,
they drive their car.
Yeah, sometimes you can go home, but sometimes you shouldn't. You know, that's my Katie Couric take.
It was very strange. It was very, very, very strange.
Are they out there?
Yes, they are. Mike Tirico anchoring everything. It was him and Katie Couric. On Friday night.
But do they do the morning show from out there?
Well, Katie Couric's not on it, but yes.
The Today Show will be from out there.
The Today Show is out there, yes. Yes?
Nothing.
Why wouldn't the Today Show be out there?
I'm just saying, I guess they freed up some salary, so yes, they have the budget to
do
that.
They go every year.
Oh, they always go?
Yes.
So they had Homeboy out there before?
Mal Lauer was there for like the last 20 years.
All right, cool. I'm not gonna do no more. Greg.
You brought it up.
I'm not gonna do no more. Well, it's the elephant in the room.
I don't think it is.
I think it is.
Like, obviously, they send their Today Show out there. Of course they do.
Okay, but still, I mean, I guess, you know, they have homeboys not with them no more.
He's not with them anymore.
Mm-mm.
No. Now, Al Roker's still there.
Maybe he's, I don't know. I don't know.
You're accusing things of that.
No, no, because I don't know. I know Al Roker. I'm familiar with Al Roker.
Okay.
He's a cool cat.
All right.
Shout out to Al Roker.
There you go. So as I said, the Canadians...
Hashtag not yet. We got to get to something else, Greg.
I'm working in the Olympics.
Okay.
You know, the Canadians, as I said, the team skate, they won it all. The brother and sister American team were the top American team this year. I believe they won it last, not these people, but Meryl Davis and her partner had won the ice dancing previously. These brother and sister from America were supposed to be the next ones. And I thought they were like a little shaky personally for me. Their freestyle competition performance was much better. But
I got to say, so many people were hitting the ice over this, how many days? It went on for a couple of days. This team thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just saw people flying around the ice, you know, whether it was with couples or solo. So the ones that did have a clean routine and, you know, got through it, and that was impressive. But, yeah, I was taken aback by how many people did hit the ice this weekend.
What's the name of the brother and sister crew?
Oh, boy. The name of the brother and sister.
Now, is all the teams brothers and sisters?
No. This is boyfriend and girlfriend, so we're just partners. They are the Shubutanis, I believe. Yeah, the Shubutanis. Alex and Maya.
Alex and Maya Shubutani.
Yep.
I'm looking at a picture of them now.
Okay.
Okay, the Shibs.
Yes.
That's what they call them, the Shibs.
Mm-hmm. Alex and Maya Shubutani.
Look at their outfits. It's interesting.
The other major events we had was the snowboarding and making all these crazy jumps like X Games style, which I'm sure
Jake's into that stuff.
It was awesome. You had for the Americans in his third jump, you had this 17-year-old kid named Red Girard, 17 years old, had the run of his life, wins the gold medal.
Yeah, that was really
first
cool.
Time we won the gold medal in that event.
Red Girard.
He's the second youngest U.S.
I thought he was first, so
I
yeah.
I believe he was second, but whatever. Okay. He's very young, 17 years old. You see a picture of the kid. I was like, wow.
He ain't got no hair on his face.
it was unbelievable.
Look at this guy.
So we as the Americans won the gold in the men's, and in the same competition for the women, we won that too. 4 years ago, an American won. She comes back, and not only did she win it, her second jump, she didn't even have to do it. She had what they called a run for glory because it was over.
That one girl, though, I think she was a Canadian. She got robbed. She was going down the hill. And then the weather, she stopped.
God.
She should have been, in my opinion, you got to give her another run.
Her name was Spencer.
Yeah.
I remember that.
You have to give her another run. It's the Olympics. I mean, it wasn't her fault. The weather really just changed on her. She did the right thing to pull up. But they didn't give her another shot. I found that pretty odd. But, yeah, back-to-back gold medals. So, yeah, no, and what is it, the half pike? We're looking pretty good on that as well.
Yeah. So. We also won our first medal ever in the luge, which I believe we won silver.
That's right. Yeah. The luge is
wild.
A part of me really wants to do it. The other part of me wants not to do it.
I'm 100% down. I'm totally down for it.
It's easy to say. Then you get up to that event.
I'm in, man.
How fast that thing goes.
Looks fun. Just strap me in, get a nice seatbelt or something, give me some padding, I'll be good to go.
What if you go flying off the loose?
Well, that would be bad. that would be bad. I did want the last thing for today when it comes to the Olympics. So the IOC is keeping like a very... close eye on the Olympic athletes of Russia.
Who's keeping a close eye on the IOC? That's the question.
Sure, agreed. But they're keeping a close eye on the OAR, the Olympic athletes from Russia. And they basically said, if you're good little boys and girls from Russia, on the closing ceremonies, we will let you fly the Russian flag. We will let you have the Russian national anthem on the last day, as long as none of you do anything.
Yeah, for me, I mean, look, Russia, part of the fun of like the 80s Olympics was we knew like Russia and East Germany were juicing to the max, and when we beat them, it was even like that much better. So
it was like I heard somebody say that it was like back in those days, like you had like an enemy to you know what I'm saying, like somebody to go against. Now it's the media.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're still the Russians.
Yeah. Now our enemy is the media.
Well, I need to get out of this segment.
Kim Jong-un's sister is like...
I need to get out of this segment.
Wait a minute. They told the Russians... Yeah. They keeping an eye on the Russians.
Yeah.
Then they told them if you behave well...
You can fly the flag.
Sounds familiar to me. Yeah, I know what that's like. Let's get to basketball or something, baseball or something like that.
Yeah, let's do that. The we're gonna go on YouTube. The Colts have a new head coach.
Nice.
And it's all this guy's asked for 3 months, and it happened. We'll go live on YouTube and talk about Frank Reich next.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
With you here, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And I can't believe it, to be honest with you. Josh McDaniels spurs the Colts, goes back to New England. And for months, my partner on my left, Matt Modica, just sat here. I don't want to say stomped his feet and banged his hands, but he's just like, listen, I don't understand why nobody's interviewing Frank Reich. He's the offensive coordinator to a team that is winning the Super Bowl with their backup quarterback. A guy that had planned everything out, and while Doug Peterson had get all the credit, as he should as the head coach, why are people interviewing the quarterback's coach? What about the offensive coordinator? Hello? And maybe there's a little Buffalo Bills bias
here. It is a little bit there.
And maybe I had a little Maryland Terrapin bias here.
It is there. I'm a fan, too, though. But, and I'm non-biased.
Yeah, but even like if Peterson, you know, is calling the plays.
Which he did.
It's setting everything up. You got to think that Frank Reich was learning something from this.
I would think so.
You know, so you would want somebody like that to be a part, especially with the Colts, because, like I said, I'm not believing Andrew Luck is healthy until I see him throwing a football. I know we've heard various different reports. I want to see him throw the damn ball, and then we'll go from there. Then I'll start believing some stuff. But until then, I'm not. And look, good for him. I did find it funny, though. You see the picture that Ursay took with Reich? And they had, like, a newspaper to show that was the day.
This really happened. Nah, I say this. I think it's a good hire. It's much better hire than Josh McDaniels. So they came out on top of this situation, the Indianapolis Colts. I'm going to believe in Andrew Luck. I think he's going to – I mean, he's already working with the quarterback gurus that work with Peyton Manning to get him back up to par a few years ago and stuff like that. So I'm going to believe that Luck is going to be ready to go. Obviously, you won't really know what the situation with Luck is until he gets into that routine of throwing. And then if he has a setback, then we can see another surgery. So it's still a fluid situation, but I'm going to be optimistic on Andrew Luck, because it seems like, you know, the rest of the medical field / sports world is. I think the right move is good. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with that third pick. So kudos to Indianapolis. I think they got it done. It looked like they had some adversity a week ago. Now they got a situation where they got their guy. And you got a guy that's going to work with whoever the quarterback is. He's going to work with them. He's not going to force a system on them. He's going to cater to what they do best. I like to have a head coach like that. So, I thought I heard a noise just now, like a piano was playing.
There was a dog barking.
Oh, thank God Scott's not here, because then Scott would have started barking. This thing would have got off track, yes. And I would have started laughing.
The Scott Sussman fan club was downstairs today.
This dude asked about Scott this morning in the lobby. They were like, where's the king at? And I was like, he's chilling. He's can't go Scotty. You might see him later on. Anyway, Frank Reich. I love the move. I love the pickup. I think the Colts did a good job. I think they hit a home run. They got underneath that cloud of Josh McDaniels. So, A-plus to the Indianapolis Colts getting their guy. So, I'm looking forward to see what they put together in the draft and the rest of the offseason. And I would be optimistic about the Colts. I still think that team got some work that they can do in that division.
Okay, I just saw a ridiculous photograph.
Of what?
Frank Reich and Jim Irsay.
Oh, yeah, that's there it goes right there. Yeah, that's the one with the newspaper.
This is insane.
Frank, Jim Irsay is a wild dude.
He's a wild
dude.
He
should write a book about what's going on in New England. A tell-all.
He should. This is This is a very funny picture.
He could write a memoir of himself.
That would be pretty good, too. He ain't going to put that information out there, though.
Yeah, but you know what? Frank Reich, ultimately, listen, he's not nearly as splashy as Josh McDaniels, and I get that. He's not nearly as fun, and he's not as young, and I get all of that. But none of it means he's not as good of a coach.
No, he's going to be a good coach.
You think so?
Yeah, he's going to be a good coach. I feel as if he's going to be a good... Backup quarterbacks are normally good coaches.
They are. What was really interesting about him, though, is he got fired from his job in San Diego as the offensive coordinator. He was replaced, ultimately, by Ken Whisenhunt. And Mike McCoy fired him, probably in an effort to save his own job, and they brought Whisenhunt in there. And Frank Reich, when Doug Peterson got the job in Philly, he landed there, and I almost remember... Let's see if I could find it, but like Roto World... One of their blurbs, you know how much I love those.
They tried to get cute, yeah.
No, it wasn't even so much that they tried to get cute, almost. They just called it like, they killed Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
And they essentially called the Frank Reich hire, like, is an extremely uninspiring choice. And I feel like Colts fans want to say he's almost an uninspiring choice. But I don't think that's fair.
That's not the case at all. I don't believe that to be the case. I think they're happy with this hire right here. He's coming off a nice high on the Super Bowl. Put it like this. If he didn't get this last job on the market, he would have got one. He would have been at top of the cycle next year. So I'm satisfied with this Frank Reich hire. I like it.
Yeah, I found it. It actually, I think I was wrong about this. So they fired Frank Reich, the Chargers, and they said he was basically scapegoated, and John Pagano, the defensive coordinator, should have been fired first. But ultimately, he was scapegoated. He said that the Eagles hired him. Doug Peterson was going to be the offense, called the offensive plays and whatnot. Here we go. Originally, the exact one that I remember reading. Reich was the Chargers' scapegoat after last season, getting fired while Mike McCoy and John Pagano kept their jobs. He was dealt a garbage hand in 2015 as his entire offensive line crumbled with injuries. The receiving core couldn't stay healthy, and rookie Melvin Gordon legitimately looked bad. Reich and Peterson played together in Carolina. Who the hell knows that? And Peterson would likely call his own plays. Very interesting.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is, but... I mean, Josh McDaniels, to me, is a bit overrated. Look, when you have Brady on your team, I'm saying Josh McDaniels isn't good, but we've seen the Belichick tree depart and not really succeed. So, you know what? It is what it is. Indianapolis moved on. I thought it was more drama than needed to be last week, and... He's not there. He's back with the Patriots. Let him be.
Another great blurb from last January. Reich had a nondescript year overseeing the Eagles offense, but previously had success with the Chargers. He seems like an extremely unlikely candidate to get a head coaching job. This is when the Bills were going to interview him.
Were wrong with that.
They were. Yeah. There you go. Frank Reich, the new head coach.
They got a gig now. See, head coach need to be able to call plays, though. You need to have that ability. So I don't know if Frank Reich can do that.
I would think he can.
He did call him in San Diego. He did call the plays in San Diego. Oh, well, you know what? Maybe Mike McCoy there. Maybe he didn't.
See, you got to be able to call the plays if you're a head coach.
See, the way I look at it,
that's not true.
I remember back when he was with the Bills and they had the K-gun offense and Kelly called his own plays. So I got to think Reich has that ability. I mean, he was around one of the best offenses around that time. And I don't see why he can't. He was... next to Peterson. I think he learned something there. So, shout out to him. I'm going to assume they're going to try and trade out of the 3 pick.
You just get more picks? I don't know. I think they could...
I think they just need... I mean, if you really think you need an offensive lineman, wouldn't you want to move down?
Unless a guy like Saquon Barkley is there.
I mean, I'm up for taking Barkley, but I just think, I don't know. They just got so many things they need to fill. If they're able to get maybe 2 first-rounders.
I get it. But Barkley's a generational talent. You may not want to move out of there. It's going to depend.
Same with Corey. If Andrew Luck is healthy, we're going to go in the injury optimism. Don't we need to protect this guy? Hasn't this whole last season been highlighting that this protection should be optimal?
Totally agree with that. And we as fantasy owners know the same thing, that you need protection along that offensive line to get anything. Frank Reich, of course, lauded with success with the backup quarterback in Philadelphia, Nick Foles. We'll see if he can do the same to Jacoby Brissett. Now, when it comes to calling his own plays, and Corey said the offensive head coach should have the ability to call his own plays, should do that, although it worked out very well for Ben McAdoo. The two names you're hearing listed as potential offensive coordinators in Indianapolis are Daryl Bevel, of course, and this dude, Nick Sirianni. Well, who the hell is Nick Sirianni?
You know, never heard of that.
Everybody knows Daryl Bevel, but nobody knows Nick Sirianni. So let me kind of give an update with the offensive coordinator situation. So as expected, we talked about this Friday, Minnesota hired John DeFilippo. Mm-hmm. Okay, they got their guy, and kind of I felt like the tea leaves kind of said that was going to happen, and it did. They then blocked the Giants from hiring the quarterback's coach, Kevin Stefanski, as their offensive coordinator. That's who Pat Shurmur wanted. That didn't happen. So for the Giants, the offensive coordinator turn went to Bevel, who again interviewed in Minnesota as well. But Indianapolis supposedly also wants Bevel. He interviewed in both locations. So Daryl Bevel, of course, former Minnesota offensive coordinator, former Seattle offensive coordinator for years, a hot name somehow.
Because he knows how to call plays.
He does. But he wouldn't call plays with the Giants, which is interesting. With the Colts.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
With the Colts, he might.
Yeah.
With Reich. Or they bring it. If Frank Reich wants to call his own plays, I would assume they would bring in this dude, Nick Sirianni.
Yeah.
Now, Sirianni is just 36 years old, but his experience is very interesting. He coached with Reich in San Diego. He was a quality control coach who was hired by the Chiefs.
They do a lot of work, those quality control coaches. They're the ones that's really in there breaking down that game plan.
He was a quality control coach with the Chiefs for years. Then went over to San Diego again as a quality control coach. Was actually promoted from there, a big jump, to quarterbacks coach from quality control coach.
That is a big jump. They know what he's doing.
Quarterbacks coach under Frank Reich when Reich was the offensive coordinator there. When Reich left, he was demoted from the Chargers to wide receivers coach. I guess not demoted, but just reassigned.
Yeah, reassigned.
Reassigned to wide receivers coach, which he has held for the past couple of years. And now, Reich is considering whether he wants to bring him in as his offensive coordinator in Indianapolis. Very interesting.
It does make sense. They have a background. They have a relationship. It's like anytime you go to a new company or there's a takeover or something, you always take your own people with you. If you know, who's ever coming in charge is going to take their people with them. So most of the other people are going to go. Maybe if you're really that talented, you'll stay around. But for the most part, you're going to clear house, bringing the people that you are loyal to you and the people that you know how to work with.
Yeah, and I understand that. That's why Shurmur ultimately wanted Kevin Stefanski with the Giants, because they had that relationship from their time in Minnesota. You always want a connection. You always want that staff close. And we'll see, ultimately, if that relationship comes to fruition once again in Indianapolis. I wound up looking at the wide receiver coach Wikipedia page, basically, of Nick Sirianni. And on the bottom, it has all these wide receiver coaches listed. And it's really, really interesting. Like, some things I didn't know about. Like, in San Francisco, your boy Matt LaFleur, his brother is the wide receivers coach under Kyle Shanahan. Of course, Matt used to work with him. I thought that was super interesting. My guy Ike Hilliard, offensive wide receiver coach in Washington. Who knew?
Who knew that?
Who knew? We got more headlines coming your way when we come back. We get to you, Darvish, in hour number two. We got a lot more to talk about, though, NBA as well. Stick around. FST continues right after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
You're a Lauryn Hill guy?
Not really.
No.
The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
That was a fantastic album.
The songs off that album.
Yeah, exactly. That was excellent. And then she got with that Marley son.
Yeah.
She lost it after
she
that.
She lost it.
Yeah, she lost it after that.
I think she stopped paying taxes too.
Did she?
Something like that.
She lost it. Yeah, when she got with the Marley dude, it just was like she cut her hair off. It was wild. I felt bad for sis.
Yeah.
And then she's been kind of weirded out ever since.
Super weird after that.
Yeah.
Fantastic album though.
Miseducation of Lauryn Hill is one of the greatest albums ever made.
Unbelievable album. Unbelievable album.
No, I sent an email. Disregard this one I just sent.
All right, there you go. Let's get into some more football headlines before we move on to the baseball, which we'll get to a lot. I'm losing NBA here as well. Larry Fitzgerald won the Pro-Am this weekend.
Yeah, I saw Larry Fitzgerald won He didn't win the one with the press. Like,
no, he won the
celebrity joint.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Larry Fitzgerald. He got his golf game rolling. He won that pro-am out there at Pebble Beach this week. He got his stroke going.
You were waiting for that.
I was. Really were. I feel like Corey just saw that on the rundown. I was like, yup.
I'm going to say this.
Yup. Just plan that out. Just like the thing in his pocket.
I don't like that Giants. And that's not in my shot when we go on YouTube. Is it that Giants football? And
maybe you should watch yourself on YouTube. You'll find out.
Yeah, I don't like that Giants thing in my shot because I don't want nobody to mistake me as a Giant fan.
I don't think they will. Maybe they will mistake you as like a Bengals fan.
That's fine.
Okay. Yeah, so Larry Fitzgerald wins that pro-am, which is kind of interesting. Also, when it comes to football, your boy Jameis Winston said, listen, I got to be better with DeSean Jackson. I got to have some sort of connection here.
Yeah, that's a situation where they didn't connect on. I really think it was too much Cutter. Listen, Jameis is going to have his Tony Romo, Brett Favre moments. You got to live with it. I don't think that you should put the fear in him if you throw an interception. You know what I'm saying? Just let him go out there and wing it. Let him play with house money. I understand the turnovers can be troublesome at times. I think it was in his head this year. I think that's why you saw a little bit more reserved Jameis Winston. I think if he gets out of his head and just plays his game, and I think Cutter has to be grown enough to let him do that, and I think we'll see a rebound from Jameis Winston. He's a player I'll be going back in on this year.
You're backing on Jameis Winston. Matt, are you going to be backing in on a guy like DeSean Jackson here, who, getting up there in age, I get it. You look at the numbers from last year, they're better than you thought. We realized that when we looked at them at the end of the season, that the numbers were just a little bit better than I think we kind of expected. But Jackson finishes 50 receptions, 668 yards, just 3 touchdowns. But he had his games. He's going to be 30. It'll be his age 31 season next year. Are you going to be back in on DeSean Jackson?
If the price goes down, yeah, I'd buy. But it's going to be price dependent. He was open a lot those first few games. Jameis did not connect with him. But the curious guy is Chris Godwin. And the step that he takes into his offense. Mike Evans showed when DeSean Jackson was out towards the end of the year, he needs to be targeted like at least 1,000 times a game. This is their best receiver.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is an extreme talent. So hopefully they go into the 2018 season with getting Mike Evans the damn ball.
I agree. That needs to be the priority, getting Mike Evans' damn ball. Although I don't expect anything to change. I mean, Dirk Cutter's still going to be there, still going to call his plays, still going to do his thing. That's going to be
Dirk
it.
But Dirk has got to be, like, don't, like, you can't get on Jameis about these interceptions too much. You want him playing free and easy.
He knows, but he's always said that, right? Like, I'm going to let Jameis be Jameis. He said that.
He might be saying that to us, but he's probably in the back room telling Jameis, listen, I'm going to bench your ass if you keep throwing interceptions.
It's possible.
Yeah, see, Cutter survived because the GM survived. The GM is figuring this is his last season if it doesn't work. So he couldn't go out and hire a new coach, bring in a whole new regime. So that's how, in my opinion, how Cutter.
Well, why couldn't he do that? Wouldn't that make the GM in place longer?
No, because I think he's got this year to, you know, if it's a repeat of last year,
it's all right. It's all for
I thought he was gone, but he survived. So that's the only reason I see Cutter surviving.
Yeah, this is a dude that took a kicker in the second round. Did not work out.
I mean, just on that alone, he should have been fine.
You know that never works?
Never.
Because
Roberto Aguayo, Mike Nugent.
The kicker.
Sebastian Janikowski.
Has the Janikowski worked out.
It's an exception.
The kicker has too much pressure on him when he's drafted like that.
I agree. You need the kicker to just come in as an undrafted dude or seventh round guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And just do his thing.
Just kick. You know, don't put me, why am I getting picked? I don't want to be picked if I'm the kicker.
Right.
Like, I'm not even having a party that day. Like, I'm just chilling.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you definitely don't want to get picked if you're the kicker, but you should not be taking a kicker with the second pick regardless.
No. And, like, you know, they trade up for him. Like, who the hell is taking a kicker in the second round? You need to trade up.
They got so many other things they needed, too.
But that's just so crazy to me that you as a general manager, and I like Jason Licht, but, like, you as a general manager are so nervous. You're going to miss out on a kicker that somebody else is going to take them from you?
It's crazy.
Come on, man.
Nah, I don't like it. So they got some things that they're going to have to do as far as they came into the season with too high of expectations on that
team.
Agree. The expectations were too high. Then you had the bye in week one, and it just started unraveling after that.
Yeah.
Come in there, less expectations, play with house money, and I think they'll have a better season.
I think they'll have a better season because this year was just so bad, but they got three good teams ahead of them. So I know every year it seems like the last place team,
especially in that division,
you see it happen.
I know you're right, but I'm saying I don't see the Saints really taking a major step back next year. I think the Falcons maybe in year two could be better than what they were this year, and Panthers still got Cam.
Yeah, but they got North Turner now, and you never know what that becomes with North Turner. The team doesn't have no owner. So you got Rivera running around that joint with all the power. Have they hired a general manager yet? They think Carolina is a trouble spot right now.
Carolina's in a little bit of disarray here.
So even if you let's pull Carolina back. Even if you take the Bucs up a little, I still don't think they're in the same league as the Saints and the Falcons.
The question is, will the Saints' defense be nearly as good as it was last year again?
Yeah.
That's obviously the question we're coming
to. But they got young guys. I don't see why.
Oh, yeah,
why,
they do, absolutely.
Know,
and the schedule flips for them, too.
Schedule does flip. They had a very easy schedule last year. But, hey, you know what? You beat some good teams. They're in the second round of the NFL playoffs. Could have been in the championship round.
Could have been in the Super Bowl. But then again, probably not.
Minneapolis Miracle.
Yep.
Minneapolis Miracle, indeed. Wild game there. Another football rumor. You heard from over the weekend was this: the Ravens could be interested in Jimmy Graham if he's available. Ravens, Jimmy Graham. This is just like the same thing they always do, right? Like, let's bring the old guy in here who'll give me, you know, 5 catches for 10 yards.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, if he goes to the Ravens, he is going to be heavily targeted.
Sure,
he's going to get a ton of targets,
but for no yards though.
But
touchdowns and targets, you're playing PPR, that matters.
Exactly. You feel what I'm saying? So I think that's a good situation if he ends up there. He's not the explosive Jimmy Graham that he once was, but I do think he'll get 5 to 7 targets a week playing for the Ravens, where he might only get, playing for the Seahawks, he might only get 2.
Yeah, I mean, elite Joe Flacco loves throwing to the tight end.
I love Flacco.
He does love throwing the tight end.
You just have to realize that. I mean, you just can't argue that point.
No, I'm not trying to argue that point. I'm just saying that, like, he'll be Dennis Pinto from 2 years ago.
But
I don't even know if he'll have more touchdowns.
No, he won't have more touchdowns, but he'll have 80. He could have 70 catches.
Well, I can see him having more touchdowns because even this year, when he couldn't move around, you just in the end zone, he was catching touchdowns when on the field.
But those were like his only catches. So yeah,
in this Ravens, it's not like there's like these great wide receivers running around the Ravens and stuff. So I think touchdowns should be there, and the receptions as well. I mean, like you say, not going to be for a lot of yards, but
I like it.
I just really don't want to have to go back in on Jimmy Graham, being honest with you. I think he's just
a
little too old and beat up.
I'm for it.
You
especially if you get a discount on it.
Yeah, it's got to be priced dependent. He was going like 5th round this year in the drafts I was doing. So I want a heavily discounted Jimmy Graham.
I'll take it. If it's in Baltimore, I'll take it twice.
He's old and beat up for me. I agree with you guys. I do.
Who would you rather have?
Yep.
Jimmy, you'd rather have Jimmy Graham or you'd rather have Delanie Walker?
I'll take Delanie Walker.
I'll take Delanie Walker.
I'll take Jimmy Graham.
All right. Fair enough. Delanie Walker, Matt LaFleur, man? Come on.
Yeah, I think that offense might be on the way up. And even though he's the Angels wonder, Mariota loves him. And look, he dropped about 3 or 4 touchdown passes this year. So, who knows? If Trey Burton's a 49er, I want some Trey Burton.
Oh, my God. I think we just put everybody on the Niners.
Yeah, everybody.
From Sammy Watkins to Trey Burton. If you're a free agent, we just put you on the Niners. That's all we do.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it looks like we've started doing, but that's going to be an interesting conversation because they just gave the quarterback a boatload of money. So how much more money do they have to go around? That's going to be what we have to figure out.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Speaking of the Niners, you mentioned Reuben Foster before. Well, what is wrong with this dude?
This is the thing about the offseason that people overlook. When you start doing your prognostications for the next season, these dudes got to stay clean. These dudes got to stay out of trouble in the offseason, and it's going to be like this. You're talking about the 49ers. Mm-hmm. Now you got one of their best young defenders. Guess what? He's going to be suspended.
As he should be.
Yeah, and look,
likely 6 games.
But, I mean, you should
better get 6 games.
You shouldn't have to worry about this.
You shouldn't, but it is. It is what it is.
No, you're right. It is what it is. This was a guy that the reason he went so late was because of
character issues.
Uh-huh. And, you know, they bought in and stuff like that. And you can see why they bought in, because of the talent on the field. But you can't have this. This is just unacceptable. And It's going to raise it this much more in this year's draft. Yep. You're going to see the guys with character issues fall even further.
I mean, the Foster thing is it is what it is. But this is going to happen, and we're going to see more. It's going to be, listen, welcome to the NFL offseason. It's going to be an incident like every 2 weeks. It's going to be somebody getting in trouble for something foolish like this. So Foster has this
hopefully
thing.
Hopefully somebody takes this young man under their wing, and he can do some good, give back to some women's charity, and learn from his mistakes.
Hopefully that is the case, but I don't know. This dude right here seemed like he don't got it all wrapped too tight, but sometimes you got to be like that to be a defender in the NFL.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We're getting to baseball, I guess, in next hour. I'm going to start it now with this absurd story of Esteban Loaiza, a name you haven't heard in years.
Who the hell is that?
Crazy story. I'll tell you next.
How's it going in there?
5 more minutes.
Okay, let's play a game. 2 truths, 1 lie. We're not going to be late to the party. In the time you've taken to get ready, you could have been on your way to saving a life. And I'm wearing that tie you hate.
We're not going to be late. We're 10 minutes away. You wouldn't dare wear that tie. And I can't save a life. I'm not a firefighter.
Actually, I swabbed my cheeks last week.
It takes less than a minute to get your cheek swabbed. Register at DKMS.org, and you can be a superhero by helping someone out.
And Corey doesn't, but Matt, do you remember Esteban Loaiza?
No, I don't know.
That I do.
All right, so Esteban Loaiza started off as like a journeyman pitcher for the Rangers, Texas Rangers.
He had that one phenomenal season.
So he had, if I remember correctly, he had this one phenomenal year with the White Sox where he like led the league in wins. Oh, he was second in the league here now. He was second in the league in wins with 21 wins this dude had.
Whoa.
ERA was 2.9. I was like, he led the AL in strikeouts with 207. I'm like, what the hell is going on? He finished second up behind Doc Holliday in the Cy Young Award, ahead of Pedro.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. He was an all-star selection in both 03 and 04. And his 21 wins in 03 are the tie for the most ever in a season behind Fernando Valenzuela.
Shout out to Fernando Valenzuela.
So Loaiza finished his career as the second winningest pitcher from Mexico behind Fernando Valenzuela.
Shout out again to Fernando Valenzuela. Today on the Roto Experts podcast, Fernando Valenzuela's name will come up again. So this will be 2 references in 3 hours to Fernando Valenzuela.
There you go.
That's crazy.
I did not see that coming.
I didn't either. I didn't think you was going to bring Fernando up. Fernando Mania.
Fernando Mania.
I'm shocked
was
you were bringing this up today.
1981. I still remember it as a kid. That's how crazy it was.
All right. So I don't remember that. I was not around for that. What?
Nothing. You weren't around yet.
I know I wasn't. I'm old now.
You're getting there, Greg. Congratulations, Mr. Sussman.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. That year, the White Sox traded him to the Yankees. He was terrible, obviously, for the Yankees. He's like not very good. Probably stopped taking steroids. Whatever. So he retires, gets married to some like reality star who files for divorce, and then she dies on a plane.
Oh, no.
In 2012.
Sorry to hear that.
Crazy. In 06, he was arrested for failing a sobriety test, and Billy Beane then banned alcohol from the Oakland Coliseum, like in the dugouts. Not in the dugouts, in the clubhouses.
He messed it up for everybody.
He messed it up for everybody, indeed. So Jeff Passan tweeted this out just moments ago. He's the second winningest pitcher from Mexico in MLB history, and he was arrested on Friday with 20 kilos of heroin or cocaine, according to San Diego police records. He'll be in court this week to face felony drug charges.
Where at?
In San Diego.
El Chapo.
That's wild right there, because he should have enough money to where he shouldn't have to be trapping like that.
That's like bad. That's not just like some weed.
No. That's trapping. And then today with the opioid crisis affecting suburbs all over America.
Good point.
It's very serious now, so he's going to get in trouble for that, because with this opioid thing is very important now.
His bail was set at $200,000.
That seems kind of light.
So he'll post bond at $2,000 or so.
Right.
And he'd be right on the street. He might be a flight risk.
Yeah, no, I mean,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah, his bet. Yeah,
he's got the equivalent of 45 pounds and 200,000. That seems.
Bail.
He'd be out in no time.
There is a note here. Bail amount subject to change from court proceedings.
Yeah, because he's a flight risk, because he's got, that's a lot of drugs. You know what I'm saying? To be trapping and get caught with that.
I'd be flight risk.
And he live in Mexico, too. I mean, like, he got.
He's from Mexico. I don't know that he's from Mexico.
He's going to go back. He's going to go back. He's a flight risk. I would not let him. If you serious about bringing him to justice, I wouldn't give him. You don't want him to sit in jail forever either, though. But it would be higher than that.
It would be much higher, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Very, very
probably should be about $2 million.
I'd probably even up that.
You go higher than that?
Look, if it's me and I got caught with that, I'm a flight risk. I'm telling you that right now.
Yeah.
I'm going wherever. Yeah. I'm going to crawl under the rock that nobody can find me.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Yeah, I agree. So $200,000 for Esteban Loaiza, who I did not see coming up in today's show. A name from the, a blast from the past, if you will. Wild.
Today in history.
Today in history, Esteban Loaiza gets arrested, even though it was really on Friday.
He won't be in Mexican History Month.
Probably not, no.
He could have been.
We got to find out who's going to be our subject for today's Black History Profile. I got one. Richard Sherman.
We're doing Richard Sherman today?
Yes.
Okay, Richard Sherman. His own agent. His own agent this year. Interesting. All right, we're going to come back. A lot of baseball to get to in hour number two. Some basketball as well. The Cavs have kind of figured it out. And the first major shooter drop in free agency finally dropped. We'll talk about it next.
Big pimpin'.
Does your... You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Hour number two, FST. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. To my right, Fantasy Executive Corey Parson. To the left, it's Wall Street, Matt Modica. And gentlemen, finally, a shoe has dropped in MLB free agency as Yu Darvish is off the market. He officially goes to the Chicago Cubs, 6 years, $126 million. Very similar to the 6 years, $130 that Johnny Cueto received a couple of years ago. Certainly lower than some, than a guy like John Lester, but 6 for $126 for Yu Darvish includes a opt-out in year two and a no-trade clause early on that becomes limited to 12 teams in the future. Corey, your thoughts? Yu Darvish, remember the Cubs.
Yeah, Yu Darvish, obviously this is a big shoe that drops right here, but we see Darvish, he gets out there in Chicago, so more or less what it does for us fantasy owners, you still have him as a top, I would say in that 12 to 15 range as a SP1. When you look at Darvish, the ballpark is going to play neutral. Now, what I do find interesting about this, and I asked Matt, I read where even though the ballpark plays neutral, so he's basically, the change, there's no real change in his fantasy value, except that Wrigley Field is a place where they have a lot of strikeouts. How does this ballpark dictate strikeouts? I don't get that.
One of the things, I'll take a thing from Derek Carty that's using that altitude.
That's the pretty boy to be on ESPN.
Yes. altitude is one thing, but the thing about Wrigley is it's all about the wind as far as being a pitcher's park or not a pitcher's park. The wind dictates everything. If the wind is blowing out, it is a hitter's park. If the wind's blowing in, it's a pitcher's park. Mm. So it's like Chicago. They say the weather changes every 15 minutes. I lived there for 4.5 years or 4 years or something like that.
Shout out to the Shy.
Yes. So it's very true. For Darvish, I like it. They're paying more than they should. Not that more than the average is fine. The 6 years... It's the Cubs. They can afford to do this. Look, they gave Jason Heyward $180 million. So this, at worst, will never be their worst contract. I like it in the fact that they have this team. For at least the next couple of years, Darvish should be able to provide them what they need. And maybe the second half of this contract isn't good, but it's the Cubs. It's like the NL version of the Yankees. The Rickett family is flush with cash. They're loaded, so they could eat the second half of this if it does go bad, but they needed to get this guy.
Yeah, they need an ace on the top of their staff without Jake Arrieta, who's not going to be back in Chicago.
You win two games in the NLDS, you win two games in the World Series, then it's worth it.
Of course. Yep. That's all you have to do. You win a couple of games, win a World Series, and nothing matters, right?
Yep.
They said Jason Heyward made $180 million and made one speech,
yep.
And they'll say it every worth every dime. Anybody in Chicago will say that.
Yeah, what's interesting is, I heard conflicting reports here. I heard that they didn't offer Arrieta, which I wouldn't have neither.
Agreed.
Or contract. Then I heard that Arrieta turned down a 6-year deal, which I don't believe to be true.
Let's talk more about you, Darvish. Leaving L.A. for Chicago, how much L.A. was in the mix? And let's try to figure out what you, Darvish, was waiting for. Why did it take all the way to February 10th to make this happen? We'll try to discuss this all over the next few minutes.
Oh, my goodness. I heard this song all weekend.
Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Friends, if you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
FST Fantasy Sports Today. Executive Wall Street, I'm Greg. Yu Darvish, $126 million over to the Chicago Cubs. And I ultimately thought that he would wind up back in Texas, I said initially. Then I kind of thought L.A., and I just felt like he was waiting on L.A. and waiting on L.A. to just get rid of salary off the books in order to... in order to clear space for him. It didn't happen. And he ultimately goes to the Chicago Cubs. Did you think he just... basically gave the Dodgers a deadline and said, listen, if you don't get it done by today, I'm done? Or why else would he wait this long?
Well, I think he was hoping the Dodgers or the Yankees. I mean, the Dodgers, I would assume, were his number one choice. I wanted to see him back in L.A. None of these teams stepped up. I mean, if he was presented with the 6-year deal, I don't think it was going to get better than this. So it was like, you know what, he has an opt-out after 2 years. I don't see him opting out. I'm just going to be honest with you. I mean, even if he has to have, like, two phenomenal seasons, be, what, like, 33 years old, I don't see somebody really giving a, you know, I don't know. So, look, it worked out for him. If the Cubs are the Cubs. I never really saw Milwaukee as being a contender for Yu Darvish. The team that really kind of needed him but might have hurt them in the long run was the Twins, because they need somebody at the top of that rotation. So, for the Cubs, it makes total sense to me. Even if the second half of the contract is bad, they can eat it. Look, they're eating Jason Heyward's contract the last couple of seasons, and they got plenty more of that to go around. So it's not like it depends. If it's a small one, like I mentioned Minnesota, it would probably really hurt Minnesota the second half of that contract.
Right.
But sometimes you got to do that. You know, we saw it with the Nationals. You mentioned it last week with Jason Worth.
Yep. And stuff.
You know, and when you need that frontline guy, so this... this really just sets up nice. And yet now you have Chatwood becomes the fifth man, who I kind of, you know, let's see what they obviously see something. And there is some underlying things about Chatwood. So he's your fifth guy now. You know, this rotation just gets stretched out even more. It's very good. Darvish in the National League Central. I like it.
Yeah, Darvish obviously using the other big power players in the market, try to extend that, get that contract higher. The Yankees, the Dodgers, even the Rangers to an extent. Now, the Twins, you're absolutely right. They couldn't handle the second half of the
contract. Can I just say one thing real quick? The thing about Darvish, look at Darvish's numbers outside of Globe Life Stadium. In fact, what they're calling it now. I know they're getting a new stadium soon, the Rangers. God bless them. But his numbers outside of that park are very good, much better. And the one thing, Texas, I never really saw them reunite because that team's really a disaster right now. It really is, Texas. I think Texas needs to trade with every valuable chips they have and just start all over.
Yeah, I think that's probably the move you're going to have to make. I agree with that. When it comes to Yu Darvish and the fantasy value in Chicago, it's a good team. So the wins ultimately should be there. It's not nearly as big of a park as L.A., of course, and it really does depend.
It plays neutral.
It depends on the wind, as Matt was just stating.
It really does. I mean, it can be an extreme hit. If the wind is blowing out, then you're going to see, like, fly balls just carry. But on the flip side, you can crush a ball, and if that wind is blowing in, it's not going out.
What I don't understand is, why is Wrigley a good strikeout park?
That I don't really have the answer to.
Yeah, I saw that stat this week that Wrigley is one of the best parks for strikeouts. I'm like, How does the ballpark play? Is it lighting or something like that? I find that interesting. But what happens with guys like Mike Montgomery and some of these?
Well, Montgomery now will be the he could be that two inning reliever come in situation.
Yeah.
If you need a spot starter guy,
what about Eddie Butler?
Eddie Butler is Eddie Butler.
Right.
Enough said.
Sorry, no.
We ain't sweating. Eddie. The one What's guy the Cubs do have, and it was an interesting get, is Drew Smyly.
Okay.
So if he's somebody that could ever make it back from Tommy John, like, not somebody that they're relying on, but, you know.
Again, something the Cubs can do.
Yeah.
They have the ability to do that. Are the Cubs...
You know what we got to do? I hate to cut you off, and hopefully DeFino is hearing this right now. We got to get the homie in one day to come chill with us, Joe Sheehan.
Sure, love Joe Sheehan.
Yeah, Joe Sheehan's a good dude. I like Joe Sheehan,
I like Joe Sheehan
too.
A lot, yeah.
We could talk some baseball with Joe Sheehan if he feel like getting up and coming in sometime. So we have, like, the best baseball minds in the business right here.
Right, Corey Parson, Joe
not
Sheehan.
Not me. It'd be like Matt and Joe Sheehan. And, yeah. And I would just be here to soak. I'm Roto Camp.
Roto Camp. Are the Cubs better today than they were last year?
I kind of think so. I think Kyle Schwarber is going to have a bounce back season. I don't think he's a 210, 230 hitter.
Okay.
I don't think he's a 310 hitter. But I think he's somewhere from, like, say, 260 to possibly 280. He's still young. If he ever figures out left-handed hitting or can improve on that, which is a tall task, you know, the power, this is 40 home run power, easy. So I'm not counting on Schwarber. I love the kid, Albert Almora. Defensively, the kid is a whiz. If the bat ever plays, they got something special there. The thing that really is hurting the Cubs right now is Haywood and, say, Zobrist. Zobrist is all right because if he's used in that, like, utility bench role kind of guy.
Taxi squad.
He's very good in that aspect. He should not be taking at-bats away from Javi Baez. Or, you know, Baez needs to be the second baseman for 150
just
games.
Just be the second baseman.
On this team. He's a phenomenal defensive player. Jason Haywood, to me, is a defensive replacement at this point. Nothing more. So now Ian Happ is getting squeezed out. So how are they going to...
A lot of pieces there.
Yeah, how are they going to manipulate that and use it? I'm not sure.
Okay.
You got Wilson Contreras, who's very good on both sides of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively, he can frame. And we've seen the bat play. Though, I don't know if he's this home run hitter that... Look, he did it last year. But the one thing to be wary about with baseball, if they do... For some reason, I don't think it's going to happen. But if they ever change that ball, like, say, back to what it was before, say, mid-2015, it's going to be a lot of numbers going down. Because, I mean, everybody is hitting 20 homers. And these guys with the profiles of ground ball percentages north of 50% that are hitting 20, 25 home runs, just shouldn't happen.
Sure. Absolutely.
The ball is wound tighter.
The ball definitely changes the All-Star race 2015, as Matt has pointed out on multiple occasions.
Why did they change the ball in the middle of the year, though?
Well, that was the first year of Manfred, and I think they do. They're trying to draw young people,
yeah,
and they have this thing where...
Chicks dig the long ball.
It has to be, you know, two-hour game and offense. First off, the more offense, the longer the game's going to go as well.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, if it's a 1-0 duel, it's going to go pretty quick.
Remember that. They should make it. They should make it 7 innings. That's it.
No, the game is fine the way it is.
I'm sorry.
The game
man.
Is fine the way it is.
Nobody likes to watch it on TV. That's the problem.
I love it on
Nobody
TV.
Nobody wants to watch a 3-hour game.
No, nobody wants to watch a baseball game on TV.
Like, I look at it opposite of like basketball. I don't want to watch basketball until the fourth quarter.
I get it. But here's your man Corey Parson. Like, come home from work, open a beer, relax, and. He's not going to do that to watch a 3-hour baseball game.
Look, see, the thing with baseball.
It'll be on, but I'll be doing something else.
Yeah,
that's kind of the beauty of it. It's 162 games. Baseball is like there for you every day. You don't have to see it every day if you're not a diehard.
Yeah.
But, you know, like Corey said, you can turn the game on, game starts first thing. You can do a couple of things, have it on in the background. It's still there for you a couple hours later. You know, so I trying to do these radical changes, I'm really not down for.
Yeah, no, I feel you, man. I mean, would you consider yourself a purist?
Pretty much. I hate the DH. So, yeah, I mean, most people think I'm nuts.
Yeah, the purists don't really want changes to the game. So, But I think the people that's in charge of these television deals, they kind of be looking at it like, we got to figure out a way to make this a better television program.
The thing where they're wrong is they're not getting the younger viewers by doing these things. The only way you're going to get younger viewers in is they got to play the game.
That makes sense.
That's how you're going to do it. And I know they tried with the RBI and all these other things. Look, it's huge in certain cultures. You know, that's the way out, which is great. And they put baseball camps there on many different countries and stuff like that, which is something good. It's helping. They do need to do it here, focus more in the United States, maybe build some camps in certain places and help the youth of America. You know, people can use this as a jumping board. It's fun. It's any sport that you're good at, you'll want to play as a kid. I don't care if it's soccer, basketball, football, or baseball. If you're good, you don't mind playing it. It's when you're not good at sport, when you don't really want to play it.
Yeah, you don't want to be embarrassed.
Oh, who wants to be embarrassed?
Nobody.
Well, see, and the other thing that's tough about it, it's a lot harder to get a baseball pickup game. You need
18 players. That's a lot of players.
You need a glove.
Florio played softball, right? Him and Ronis played in softball league.
Frank too.
Oh, Frank's in one too? I didn't know that. So yeah, so it's still cats out there that's playing.
Absolutely.
I'm not in one.
No, you're not. I didn't think so.
No, I'm not. Probably not going to be.
Probably not. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, a couple other baseball headlines before we get into the NBA, including Zach Wheeler having a shot every day, which is like kind of weird. Not the kind of shots Corey takes every day either.
Yeah, I want to talk about that.
Yeah, I want to get into that. I want to get into the Orioles being interested in the pitcher, Lance Lynn using the Yankees like everybody else does, and Brad Ziegler too. It's FST on FNTSY.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Corey, you know how the Mets are always injured?
Why?
I didn't say why. You know how. You know, there's always.
Oh, it's all. Oh, yeah. Well, it's the Mets.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So, I was reading yesterday. I guess it was on Roto World, but I was reading yesterday. I was going down Twitter, too. And Zach Wheeler is, like, doing this, like, bone-growing thing. Which I was like, this doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't.
He's taking a daily shot.
Of
and not
what?
Like the kind of shot that you're taking.
I don't drink liquor.
Right. So, he's taking a...
I don't.
a shot daily to help this bone growing thing in order to, like, give him strength later in the year so he's durable. This is a dude that's had Tommy John that kept him out for 2 years.
The Mets always experimenting with people. Is this the Mets doctors giving him this shot, or is he doing this on his own, like TB12?
I don't know.
If it's the Mets doctors, I wouldn't trust it, Jack.
Well, the Mets fired all their doctors and replaced them.
I don't understand what their medical staff is. So they're giving the dude a shot every day.
Every day. Daily injection.
Daily injection for growth development to make him more durable.
I think I read it on Roto World, so hang on. I will tell you exactly what it said. I mean, it's...
If it's on the internet, it's true.
I agree, 100%. All right, here we go. This is from Kevin Kernan. Scott's boy, Kevin Kernan.
Oh, God.
New York Post. So he's taking a drug.
Everybody's Scott's boy.
So he's taking a drug of bone growth in his stomach.
And they're giving him the shot in the stomach. Like an insulin.
It's how crazy this is. I read this yesterday, too.
Right.
And only thing I can relate about taking a shot to the stomach is a few years back when I was in Chicago and my wife, we went to this fertility doctor, clinic, whatever stuff. Paid a lot of money. Paid thousands of dollars. And my wife had to take shots every day. I was supposed to give it a shot. I just couldn't do it.
You couldn't stab your wife.
This guy's doing this. This does not sound good.
The drug Forteo is supposed to help form new bone, increase bone mineral density, and increase bone strength.
I wouldn't draft Zach Wheeler. I would not do it.
Well, I mean, you get him for nothing. If you want him, you're not paying for him.
No, you get him for nothing. Well, there you go right there. He's not going to be healthy. He's taking shots in the stomach like insulin. It makes no sense to me. Maybe this is some kind of medical. But yeah, we got to ask Dr. A about this. Was Dr. A back from London yet?
I believe Dr. A will be back from London.
One of the Met beat writers tweeted yesterday, Matt Harvey's had, I think, one full healthy season since 2012. Zach Wheeler's never had one. And Steven Matz. So, I mean, it's like, draft Jacob DeGrom, you know, draft Syndergaard, and everything's on route to look good. It's just, Syndergaard's payoff is, if he gets the innings, is just one of the best pitchers in the game. But DeGrom, to me, is one of the safer investments.
Yeah, I very much agree with that. I like Syndergaard, I like DeGrom. Everybody else, you know, whatever. So that Zach Wheeler story was wild to me. It's also funny, when a guy like Lance Lynn, the report
Lance
comes out.
Lance Lynn still play?
He still plays, yes. He's like 30 years old.
my bad.
It's bad when I'm 30 now. I was like, oh, it's gross. He's 30. He's 30 years old. Lance and I are the same age.
Gets better.
So let me ask you a question real quick, not to interrupt, but being that you've hit the 30 plateau.
I have. Hold down.
Is it no more Greggy? Greggy's been outlawed on, you know, I don't know if 30-year-old Greggy, you know, can fly.
No, you know, they can do whatever they want. It's fine. So it's crazy to me, like, you heard it with Yu Darvish. You heard it with somebody else last week, and I pointed it out to you. I forget who it was. And now Lance Lynn's the latest one that somebody in the media now reports the Yankees are keeping tabs on Lance Lynn. I'm like, this is not
Lance Lynn.
Real.
What does Lance Lynn do good?
Pitches every day.
That's it.
I'm not a Lance Lynn guy. Look, he always outperforms his peripherals and stuff. But if he was pitching for the Yankees, I'm really not going to want to be in on him. He's not like he's an extreme ground ball pitcher.
No, he gave up a lot of home runs.
So, I mean, for me, it's got to be the right situation. He's not a high. The cost is fine, but he's not an arm that it excites me. And all the people do like Lynn. I'm really not.
I know. So what he does well, he pitches out there every day. And I feel like with all these people who kind of throw the Yankees out there.
He eats innings.
It's literally just like he's not getting a good enough offer. Let's put the Yankees in there and try to scare people off. That's
You're always going to use the Yankees as leverage. That's going to be, you know, you want to, if I was an agent, I'd be dropping stuff like that. Red Sox, Yankees, you know, get these big market teams involved. I'm curious. The Dodgers, I do think, are going to need arms. They do have the kid Walker Buehler, one of the best arms, and he could possibly get a shot. Brock Stewart's in line to possibly be that sixth guy. But I think they'd need another arm. Because Hyunjin Ryu, he never stays healthy. Alex Wood, I'm a little worried about, you know, from the velo dip last year.
Sure.
So, I mean, the pitchers are going to land. They're going to start. You saw it with Darvish. I'm curious to see what happens to Arrieta. Do the Brewers go and overpay now for him? Is that what happens? Something's going to happen with Arrieta this week, though.
I thought I saw where the Nationals was in on Arrieta.
I haven't, but I
haven't seen that. But maybe. Nationals could be on anybody, so that wouldn't surprise
me. Yeah, I could see Lance Lynn maybe landing more there.
I don't know.
Because they want that fifth starter.
I see Lance Lynn. Someone's going to go to Milwaukee. One of these guys is going to go to Milwaukee.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Milwaukee is in a bad spot for the fact that Jimmy Nelson really broke out last year.
Yes, he did.
And he was, you know, very exciting arm for this year, but he's not coming back to probably the All-Star break. He's coming off a shoulder injury. So, first off, injury optimism. I know everybody's going to have, maybe he's ready for June. But how good is he going to be? I know he started throwing some, and I saw his draft stock just kind of, it's still late, but I saw it move up quite a few rounds as late as he was going anyway. And, you know, Chase Anderson, I think he's a good middle to back end arm. I don't think he's a one or a two. So now you're asking, we talked about this not too long ago, a week or two. You look at that rotation, and it's kind of scary.
It is. It's worse than scary. It's terrifying, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've mentioned Josh Hader. They've stated Josh Hader is going to
start
the bullpen. I don't think they want to put the pressure because he was so good in the bullpen. Maybe you see them stretch him out a bit in spring training. That's the thing to watch for me. Maybe they try and give him these, you know, start increasing his innings as he's building up his arm. Because I think at some point he's going to be needed. And I really don't want to see this team, because they're doing a lot of good things. It's going to really kind of suck for them if they go out there and pay for something that, you know, can handcuff them down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see. We'll see what they do. I do like their owner always, you know, always puts it out there that, like, he's a very good mid-level owner, in my opinion.
No, he is. And what they did with the Kane, look, they gave Kane 5 years. He's going to be 32.
Yep.
The Yelich trade was phenomenal. And I know they gave up a really good young player, but a guy that wants to be Christian Yelich.
Exactly what I was going to say.
And you get what? They gave up 6 years of Brinson for 4 years of Yelich.
Fine, sure. You know? Any day of the week. Any day of the week. We'll see. One more baseball note. Here we'll get to the basketball in a moment. Brad Ziegler, according to Don Mattingly, is your closer for Miami. Here's the problem with Ziegler. Not that he won't get the job done, Matt, but he's going to get traded at some point.
I mean, he's going to get traded. I can see the Marlins winning like 20 games this year. The Marlins really have a shot at the record for, you know, fewest wins. Yeah. Look, if you want to go to the fact that they're doing it, that they totally stripped it down, and like the Astros, I mean, this is going to be pretty much a Triple-A team on the field. So, I get it. Major League Baseball knew what they were planning to do when they approved the sale. I think they kind of just wanted the other guy out more so than anything. Look, it's Miami. It's the Marlins. There's a long road ahead.
Okay, that's with that team. Do you, Corey?
Yeah, I could be on my team.
If you're drafting a guy like Brad Ziegler,
not.
Well, he's a closer.
Yeah, but I don't like his stuff. You feel what I'm saying?
He did improve in the second half.
He said he wasn't healthy in the first half.
Yeah, you know, look, he's been pretty good.
He's been around a long time. He's the closer. He's been announced. He's the guy.
I don't trust him. I don't fool with Brad Ziegler. He's not going to be on the fantasy executive Tout Wars team.
Will he be on your team, Matt?
He has not been on any of my. He goes very late, and you can get him. I'd rather get a guy like who's not really.
Give me somebody with some electric stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Yeah. Brad Ziegler's a jag.
It's just, you know, the wins are going to be so hard to come across.
Exactly.
And then when they win, they're probably going to be close games.
Yeah, so he'll get the save, and that's in there.
How many games are they winning? And I don't know. It's just, and he'll get traded at some point. As long as he's pitching well, it doesn't even matter about the saves, because he's a good middle. You know, he can come in sixth, seventh, even eighth for a bat. You know,
right?
So he can be used in many different ways. And they want this, whatever he's getting $8 million or something this year off the books.
Yeah,
that they desperately want. They do not want to pay that money.
No doubt about that. There's no doubt about that.
They just want everything for nothing.
Yeah, well, I mean, and also the closer tag gives him more cash.
Yeah, yeah, it makes his salary. You know, make him like, you know, it's better for him.
Do you believe any of this Orioles BS? They're going to trade for Colin McHugh? Like, there's no way, right?
Look, what are you
giving? The Orioles never do anything. That's why.
What are you going to give up for? Look, if you can get Colin McHugh, I wouldn't give up a lot for Colin McHugh.
I just don't ever expect the Orioles to do anything.
No, if they got McHugh, it's why not take the shot on Colin McHugh at the right price? I mean, you're not giving up much for him. You put him as your number three behind Bundy and Gausman.
Right.
The staff's looking a little better now.
I agree. I just don't think they'll do it. I think the Orioles just like hearing their name in the news, but don't actually want to make
trades. But they always do. See, I'd rather see them do a trade like this than what they've done in the past and panicked and gave $50 million to Ubaldo.
Well, now because of that, Peter Angelo is so scared off, he won't sign any free agents.
But it's like spending money. Anybody can spend the money.
Sure.
You got to spend it right. Then they went and got Giovanni Gallardo. They got out of that with the trade.
Instead of just going after good guys, they go after these pieces of middle whatevers.
First off, I think this team needs a major revamp. But I'm signing Machado. If he walks or doesn't get traded, even if you trade him, what are you getting for him? You're not getting the value.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll mention how the Cavs are all right again. Just amazing how quickly that turned around. The NBA from last night, Corey's lock of the night, sponsored by Daily Roto and other state in history. Whole lot more to come in the next 10 minutes here on FST.
Hello,
friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
We're back here now on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Remember, if you're going to play Daily Fantasy Sports, check out Fantasy Factor. It's a perfect daily fantasy site, the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller fields, single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NHL and NBA free rolls each and every week. The free enter, so sign up today. www.fantasyfactor.com. Are the Cavs fixed, Corey?
It looked like they are after one game. Obviously, the team's got much more. The team has gotten younger. The team has gotten more athletic. You see that right off the rip. They're going to play better defense with with my man George Hill out there. They're going to be a little bit better shooting the three. I think the biggest thing is they have role players now. And LeBron James can be the guy who carries the team. He'll make everybody around him better. But you don't got guys. Clarkson could be a me guy. But you don't have guys that are just going to be that guy to be like, okay, I need my minutes. I need the ball. I need my shots. You don't have nobody on the team like that right now except for Clarkson. And Clarkson's going to want to get his.
You think Rodney Hood's like that?
I don't think Rodney Hood is like that.
I don't know.
So I look at it as a positive, and I think that they are they're going to be trouble in the East with the way they got it set up now. At least they seem to have a cohesion. It's only been one game. You know, they got what, 29 more to go, 28 more to go with this group before they get to the NBA playoffs. So I think right now this is better than what they had out there, and I think they're back in contention in the Eastern Conference. Last week, this time, they were not.
Look, the LeBron-Lears are, you know, a whole new world. We spoke about this on Friday, and why not? Look, it wasn't working. They have to make this run, at least give one more shot at a title with LeBron, you know. And then, you know, whatever falls, they got some young players. That's the good. They got some contracts.
They still got that pick from Brooklyn. They got Jordan Clarkson. They got Larry Lance Jr. So they're set up where when LeBron leaves in the offseason, then they're set up to where the cupboard is not empty.
Correct.
Yeah, it kind of worked out where Cleveland's kind of set up. Like yep. Corey just said, it's not empty. And LeBron paved the way for him to go to the Lakers.
He's the best general manager in basketball. Amazing. The best player and the best GM.
Youngest GM in the league.
Yeah.
It is interesting. Cleveland lauded for this trade. We said it on Friday that they are locked in. I mean, these are the guys long term now, right? Like, you're not getting out of Tristan Thompson's contract.
Well, but that was before, so they were screwed there.
Yes, for sure. But like Jordan Clarkson, Rodney Hood, George Hill, these guys are under contract. They're not like rentals.
No, No. They're under contract. They're going to be guys that are out there, so you're starting to see what the shape of that team is going to be. You never know what that next pick could be one. You could put Trae Young on this team, somebody like that. So it could be interesting.
I think it's just, as you guys are bringing it up, it's better in the fact that it's not a bunch of me guys, and it's more seems like more of a team that could develop into more of a team. And you need some veteran players. And whether it's, you know, a George Hill or someone, you need people that can help these younger players get better as well. And it's not like, you know, George Hill's 34.
No.
He's 31, right? So I'm for it. I think it was what they had to do. And like I said, it worked out for everybody. It works out better for Cleveland. And LeBron's got his he cleared all that cap space.
It worked out for everybody except for Isaiah Thomas, who went from an MVP candidate to an expiring contract.
That's crazy.
Amazing.
But in no time.
He'll be a free agent and he'll get paid. He will get paid. There's going to be...
But his name is dirty now, though.
As dirty as it is, there's that one GM that will pay.
Yeah. Agreed, but you're dirty in that, like, you couldn't play with the best player in the world.
Yeah.
And he talks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he does. And you got to deal with that. They're going to bring up that hip. They're going to be like, you got there... And you immediately got on Kevin Love's case. So his name is kind of mud right now. Lakers are not. He's not going to stay in Los Angeles. LaVar Ball is going to run him up out of there. You know what I'm saying? As crazy as that may sound, LaVar Ball is not going to have Isaiah Thomas blocking Lonzo.
But there's the GM.
Yeah, the Clippers will take him.
There's that GM that, you know, is on the hot seat, has to win this year.
Got to make a move.
And Jimmy Butler is a free agent. Look, I bring this guy in. Okay, he didn't get along with LeBron, but maybe that just wasn't the right circumstance. You can always, you know, make excuses. You know, we all do that with certain things. And he'll get his. I'm out. I don't.
Will
think
he I'm get wrong. A will he get a video tribute when they visit Cleveland?
No.
You think so?
No.
Those 15 games.
it'll be a video of LeBron turning his back to him, hugging everyone else with him.
No, probably not. No. All right, so the Knicks made a trade for Emmanuel Mudiay, who yesterday, Mudiay wound up playing 29 minutes in a double-double, 14-10.
Mudiay can play. Nobody else on the team can.
No, they lost 121-113 against the Pacers.
Yeah, I mean, Knicks, like, I just don't get the Knicks. It's a shame what happened to KP, but you got French Frank that, you know, you could have had Dennis Smith.
Could have had Dennis Smith Jr.
That takes me back to Ron Artest days, when they could have had Ron Artest.
Second Frederick Weissman match we're going to have in 2 days here on the program.
Yeah, so it's just, I don't know what the Knicks, I don't know what to think anymore.
16-13 for Michael Beasley last night in the loss for Indy. You had 20 from Bojan. Bojan's been really hot as of late. 39-8 with 6 steals for Victor Oladipo last night, which is awesome. 18-11 from Thaddeus Young. Turn back the clock a little bit. Just 13 from Miles Turner. Domantas Sabonis had 6 points and 10 rebounds there. Born ready off the bench at 15.
Yeah, they got the job done last night. Let me pull up the stat sheet. I'm sorry, Mr.
Sussman. No, don't worry about it. I'll move on. I'll move on.
Born ready.
The Utah Jazz, 115-96 over Portland. The new look Jazz, you got Jay Crowder off the bench, had 15-5. Donovan Mitchell leads the way, 37 minutes, 27 points. A double-double from Rudy Gobert, 24 points from Joe Ingles, 15-11 from Derek Favors.
I like this Jazz team. I really hope they do get in. I want to see Golden State Jazz... that first round.
That'd be cool. That would be cool. On the other end, you had Portland lost Jusuf Nurkić here in this one. He played 14 minutes, and that was it. Nurkić just did not score in those 14 minutes. While CJ McCollum had 22, Dame Dollar had 39.
39 for Dame last night, 12 of 25, 2 for 8 from the 3. Not the most efficient night, but 13 for 13 from the free throw line, so he was being active getting in the hole.
For Minnesota, they are home against Sacramento, and they won 111-106. The T-Wolves were led by 29 from Karl-Anthony Towns, 12-10 from Jeff Teague, 18 from Jimmy Butler, 15-6 from Taj Gibson, 16-8 from Andrew Wiggins. For Sacramento, De'Aaron Fox had 23 points for them, 13 for the other Bogdanovich, that was Bogdan Bogdanovich, 12-6 for Zach Randolph.
Bogdanovich franchise becoming like the Ball Brothers.
Probably not. In Cleveland's victory, where they destroyed Boston here, LeBron at 24, 10, and 8, 15 for JR. It was a good JR that showed up. Jordan Clarkson, basically his value is the same. 23 minutes off the bench, had 17 points, while Rodney Hood played 19 minutes, scored 15 points in the 19 minutes, though.
Yeah, but obviously it was the chemistry, the combination. It looked like it started to work early. LBJ going to get his numbers. I still wouldn't need LBJ to take his little two-week break at some point.
Oh, it's coming. It's definitely coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. For Boston yesterday, you had 17 points for Marcus Morris, 18 for Kyrie, 21 for Terry Rozier off the bench.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. Excuse me. Wasn't expecting that. I didn't get a chance to see too much in this. Well, hardly in, well, none of this game, to be honest with you. But interesting that on Paul Pierce nights, the Celtics played one of their worst games of the season.
Very interesting, right? And everybody was in the building, too, which I thought was wild. Doc was there.
Was Ray Allen there?
No.
There you go.
Doc was there. KG was there. Antoine Walker was there. Rajon Rondo was there.
But no Ray Allen.
But no Ray Allen.
Do my man dirty.
It's amazing how much they hate this guy now.
For leaving them.
For leaving.
That's
LeBron
crazy.
Did it, and they came back. It was
fine. Exactly. I don't get it. So, but they're really down on Ray Allen. They don't fool with Ray Allen, but shout out to Ray Allen. Always one of my favorites.
I got a question here with the Warriors and Rockets. You know, pretty much tied and a half game separating them.
Yes.
What are the odds the Rockets win the get the number one seed?
They very well can do it because the Golden State Warriors are obviously I think they'll be better after the All-Star break, but this situation, you know, Bob Myers had to come down. Did you hear about this?
No.
Bob Myers had to come down and address the team.
Why?
And Steve Kerr. He told him it's too much. He told him the technical fouls, it's not professional, it's a bad look, and we're up against the clock already. You got a situation where Draymond already has 14 technicals, and then he's going to start getting suspensions, and he's going to end up likely getting suspended for some playoff games.
Well, you got, it resets in the playoffs.
It does reset, yes. Okay. You got Steve Kerr, who has a whole bunch of technicals this year. I think he's a second in head coach. You got Kevin Durant, who has 4 ejections this year. He doesn't have any other. He only has 1 other ejection in his entire career.
Yeah.
So the general manager had to come down and talk to them and tell them, listen, this has to stop. So they got to – when Bob Myers does not address the team unless it's serious business, and for Bob Myers to come down, this is something that this is a thing right now. And Steve Kerr agreed that he has to do better also.
Yeah, he does. I mean, it starts from the top. You see how the teams are going to take on a persona – as like with their coach,
yeah,
and with the technicals and all that. Look at the Patriots. The Patriots win a lot of games. They don't get penalized. I know people think it's a NFL conspiracy, but they are coached that way. They are coached. Sure. Let the other team take the penalty. You know, that's why it's part of the bend don't break defense that they have and stuff. So yeah, it's on Kerr. That's a great point, Corey. Kerr's got to get better too.
Kerr's got to do a better job too.
Tonight in the NBA, we're approaching the NBA All-Star break.
Yep.
That comes this weekend. Will you check that stuff out? We'll go over the slam dunk contest.
It'll be a lot of fun. I'll definitely be checking it out this weekend. You got the I think to me the highlight is, you know, a Saturday night will be the 3-point competition. I want to see if Klay can repeat.
See, and this time he doesn't have to face Steph at all.
No Steph. Unfortunately, no Steph Curry in this one.
Tonight you got the Sixers and the Knicks. Sixers 11.5 point favorites. Pistons at home against the Pelicans. Pistons are a 2.5 point favorite. Nets are home against the Clippers. 4.5 point favorites.
That's
for the
one.
Nets. For the Clippers, rather. I'm sorry. I'm not the Nets. Mm-hmm. You taking the Clippers?
The Clippers cover.
That's it. Corey Parsons, Lock of the Night, sponsored by DailyRoto.com. Go to DailyRoto.com for all your DFS needs. Use promo code FNTSY. 10% off.
I think the Pistons get back on track.
Magic, I like that one, too. Magic in Chicago. Chicago's 4-point favorites. Jazz at home against San Antonio. Jazz are 4.5-point favorite in that.
That's interesting.
Very interesting. And the Warriors are 15.5-point favorites against Phoenix.
Yeah. They should be able to cover that. Not the Lock of the Night, though.
Come back. Back on this day in history with Jake Seeley. We do it next.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Accomplishing the triple axel, Mariah Nagasu was able to do it. Third woman in Olympic history, I believe, to do it.
Spin around 3 times.
Sure.
So that's a lot of spinning.
It was awesome. And the fact is, she came in second in that portion of the competition, despite the triple axel, because the Russian woman that you were describing was just so damn impressive.
The performance that the Olympic athlete from Russia, I just love saying OAR, just truly phenomenal.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Back with you here on Fantasy Sports Today. Hour number 3 comes your way in moments with Corey Parson, Jake Seeley, and Matt Modica. It's FSTOT only on FNTSY. You got all of those initials there, Jake?
I got all.
All right, just wanted to make sure. What's going on, Jakey?
What's going on, Greg?
Not much. I have now reached my 3rd decade on this earth, so things are good.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you very much.
Today, officially?
Yesterday.
Yeah, happy late birthday.
I appreciate it. So on this day in history segment, I actually had some stuff that was on the 11th because it was a more important day than the 12th. On this day in 1990, 2 years after I was born yesterday, Buster Douglas knocked out Mike Tyson. How about that?
Yeah, how about that?
There you go.
Birthday.
It's on my birthday when I was 2 years old. Also on my birthday, when I was 9 years old, Bill Parcells became the coach of the New York Jets. On my birthday.
And then the very next day, the day after your birthday, wasn't it the case anymore?
No, it was. Parcells was the coach of the Jets for 3 years.
Oh, Parcells. I was thinking Belichick.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was
Parcells.
Good.
Parcells, yeah.
Then today, in 1958, it's February 12th, Bill Russell grabbed 41 rebounds, an NBA record in a game. 41 rebounds today in 1958.
Which will probably never be broken.
I would say not. No, probably not. We also, that day, how about this? Also his birthday. Didn't know his birthday.
How about that?
Yeah. Happy birthday to Bill Russell.
Good for him.
1982, Wayne Gretzky scores his record 152nd point of the season.
Also never going to be broken.
No, it's not. No, it's not. And I wanted Corey to be here for this, but he's out using the restroom. But in 1998 today, the Dallas Cowboys chose their fourth
head... Arrested for coke?
No. The Cowboys chose their fourth head coach in team history. You know who that was?
No.
Chan Gailey.
Chan Gailey.
Chan Gailey. That era didn't go so well.
No, it did not. No, definitely not.
Yeah, it's crazy. You had years, obviously, of Tom Landry. Then you had Jimmy. You had Tom Landry, Jimmy Johnson, and then Barry Switzer, and then Chan Gailey.
Went to hell for a while.
Yeah, that was it. It really didn't go well after that, did it?
No.
No.
What was the defensive coordinator that they had? It starts with a W that took over for a little while.
Wade Phillips.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was head coach in Big D for a little while. I'm going to have to go back to the Dallas head coaches. Like, they had this run where it was just absolutely terrible. Interestingly enough, so here's why Barry Switzer got fired, in case you're wondering. In August of 97, Switzer was arrested after a loaded gun was found in his luggage at the Dallas airport. He was returning to the team's training camp facility in Austin, and there were children at his Dallas home, and he put the gun in his bag to hide it from them, and then he forgot to move it. He pled guilty, had a fine. It was fined $75,000 by Jerry Jones. Had a season where he went 6-10, and that was it.
Oh, so it really didn't have much to do with the gun.
No, I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah. Come on, the dude is from Texas. So what do you expect?
Is he from Texas or is he from Oklahoma? Because he went to Oklahoma. Well,
at the top, okay, Oklahoma. I mean, really?
He's from all those places. He's from Arkansas.
All right. All right, maybe a little bit better.
All right, so let's see. Dallas Cowboys head coaches. Here you go. And we know Tom Landry was first, and Jimmy Johnson, Barry Switzer. I knew there was one we forgot. So then you had Chan Gailey. And after Chan Gailey, Dave Campo was the head coach, who later returned to Dallas as an assistant coach. Then Bill Parcells, they learned out of retirement. Then Wade Phillips. And then since 2010, Jason Garrett.
Yeah, you're so terrible, you ruined Bill Parcells. That's all you need to know.
I don't know. I think he might have just been old at that point. Still is kind of old.
I think it's their fault.
As I said, Jake Seeley, Matt Modica, Corey Parson here for FST OT. I'll be back for the Roto Experts podcast. Maybe a little late, but I'll be back for the Roto Experts podcast. Have a fantastic day, everybody. Enjoy yourselves. Enjoy life. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.